So today we are finishing up the series we have been doing called Immerse Beginnings, which has taken us through the first five books of the Old Testament, also known as the Torah or the Pentateuch. And it's been a great journey. Many of you have maybe read those first five books for the first time or made your way through them. Immerse is a great program in terms of looking at the different ways and a different way to read it and read it big. We've been doing this along with three other churches, so City Heart Ministries, Heaven's Gate, as well as Church of God United. You've had a couple of those pastors here, so Pastor Jared Ryder from Church of God United, as well as last week, Pastor James Harmon from Heaven's Gate. So one thing we're going to be celebrating tonight, a potluck at 5 o'clock. I know that's not our normal potluck time, but to allow some of the other churches to participate. So if you want, we encourage you to come back at 5 and join a meal, and some of the folks from those other churches will be here, get a chance to meet them and join it. And just as a preview, we're going to be continuing to do some of these immersed studies, so we'll be doing two a year, so we'll take a break now for a while, and then next spring, probably after Easter, we'll do one called Immersed Kingdoms, which will take us through Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1st and 2nd Samuel, and I believe 1st and 2nd Kings, and so that'll be another opportunity to read some of those books and get in those, and then we'll pick up another one in the fall. So there is a total of 6 studies in the Immersed series in this program, and so my thought at this moment in time is we'll do 2 per year every 3 years, and just that way, at least every 3 years, you'll read through the Bible. I know many of us have a goal of reading through our Bible every year, but we often get hung up on that. But one of the things I find encouraging and that helps me along is knowing that other people are reading along with it and to encourage me, and also then to have the opportunity to share, because there's one thing to sit and read at home, and many of the reading programs out there, you kind of jump all over the place and you lose track of what's going on. And so I like this, where we sit and we go through entire sections and we kind of get the big picture of the story of the Bible in our heads. So today we are going to be finishing up the series we've been doing, and we're coming to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And one of the things we realize when we come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy is the story's not over yet, because we have lots of questions that maybe are unanswered. Way back in the book of Genesis, there was a promise made that a descendant of Eve would come and crush the head of the serpent. That hasn't happened yet. A promise was made to Abraham that they would enter into a land. They're not in the land yet. There's also the ongoing issue of God is a holy God and desires his people to be a light to the world, and his people keep rebelling and turning their hearts against him. So let's set up real quickly what's gone before in Deuteronomy. So it begins with a good world created. And God calls people to rule alongside him and with him, and people choose their own way. But God has a plan to fix that. He said a descendant that will come from the line of Eve, and he calls a man named Abraham. And he tells Abraham that through his family, a great nation will come, and there'll be a blessing to all the world. But Abraham's family has problems too. They rebel, and they do all sorts of horrible things. They end up enslaved down in the nation of Egypt. And down in Egypt, God hears their cries and God rescues them with miracles and brings them out of Egypt and out of slavery. And by this time, they become not just a family, but a great nation. They come to the mountain of Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, God reminds them of all that he's done for them and says, "You are my people. You are a holy kingdom, a royal priesthood, a treasured possession. And I'm going to use you to show the world my goodness and grace." And then he gives them commands or laws, and that's what we often think of as Torah's law, but it's instructions. It's a way to say, this is what it looks like to live as my people, because I want you to be different from everyone else around me. And so the people set out from Mount Sinai, and they set out for this land of promise. And they come to the land of promise, and they get there, and they send out some witnesses to see this land that they're getting ready to go into, and they come back and they say, "We can't do this. There's giants. We can't handle this." And so God says, "Fine, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. Should have been a 3-week trip. Takes 40 years. So they end up in the desert wandering. And the book of Deuteronomy, that's Leviticus and Numbers with all these rules, they come back and Deuteronomy begins. Now they're once again at the edge of the land. They're getting ready to enter into this land that has been promised. The previous generation, the generation that had rebelled, that had doubted God, has passed away, and there's a new generation. And so now Moses, the book of Deuteronomy translates simply as the second law, which is maybe not the best way to describe it, but it's another giving of the law. And so the book of Deuteronomy is kind of laid out in 3 parts. The first part, Moses reminds them of the history. He reminds them, your ancestors, they came to this land and they didn't do it. But when Moses is speaking to them, it's as if he's speaking that they were there. He's reminding them that this is a pattern, that sins kind of continue on and it's the same sort of cycle over and over again. He reminds them of that, and then he calls them to do what they're supposed to do. And then there's the laws again. And it's kind of a second game. In some sense, he's reinterpreting the laws. He's saying, yeah, there's these commands, but you're a new generation. You're in a new place. So the commands are going to look a little bit different. Just like for us. God's laws, we understand what they say, but they look a little bit different in our day than they did then. And the primary call is to listen to God, to obey him, and to love him. And it's a call to be faithful. And so he goes through these laws, and then there's this great scene in Deuteronomy where he divides up the 12 tribes of Israel, and he puts half on one mountain and half on another mountain. And they remind the people of the blessings and curses. If they obey the law, there's blessings, and the people on this mountain shout it out. And if they disobey the law, there's curses, and they shout it out. And so you can imagine this just great, these thousands of people sitting there, and as Moses is reminding them of the laws, they've got one group saying, this is what happens when you listen to God, and this is what happens when you don't listen to God. And he's getting ready to do this, and it's all exciting, and then it finishes with this big thing. And so now this is the moment where you're expecting what's going to happen. As Moses is given these commands and say, these are the wisdom, this is the justice of God, this is what it looks like to worship only God, this is what it looks like to care for the marginalized, this is what it looks like when leaders are accountable to the law, and there's the blessings and curses, and they have a choice to make. And the choice in Deuteronomy 30:19 says this: today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. He says, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. Now, Moses has been with these people over 40 years now. And he's looking at them. And you got to be thinking, what's going through his mind? What are these people going to choose? Will they choose life or will they choose death? Well, so far, the choices haven't been very good. If he thinks back of the pattern all through the years, well, let's see, we escaped from slavery, they were grumbling. They didn't have water, they were grumbling. They got to Mount Sinai, God gave them the commands, they worshiped a golden calf. We got to the land of promise, they decided not to trust God. Well, we're not doing very well so far. So it's at this moment where I imagine Moses is getting ready for the big pep talk. And I think back to high school when I played football. You get to halftime and maybe you were up or maybe you were down and the coach would bring you into the locker room or wherever it was and he'd grab his clipboard and maybe he'd smack some guys on the head and he'd be yelling, he'd be giving the inspirational speech telling you, yo, we practiced hard, we've been working hard, you did doubles this week and you can go out and do it, you can win, and reminding them and pointing out the people's errors and pointing them mistakes, and this is what he's doing. And so I imagine Moses, he's getting ready, he's got his halftime talk coming. And he's like, this is it. You're going to do it. You will choose life. But that's not what Moses says. Deuteronomy 29. And the answer will be, this happened because the people of the land abandoned the covenant that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. He's telling them what's going to happen. Now, if he has to restore their fortunes and return them from where they've been scattered, what does that mean? They lost their fortunes and they were scattered, which means they didn't listen. Even though you are banished to the ends of the earth, well, if they were listening to God, would they be banished? No. God will gather you from there and bring you back again. In fact, God says it. The Lord said to Moses, you are about to die and join your ancestors. Thanks, God. Good news on that one. And after you are gone, these people will begin to worship foreign gods, the gods of the land where you are going. God tells them, they're not going to do it. They will abandon me and break my covenant that I have made with them. And then a little bit later, he says, so write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Help them learn it so it may serve as a witness for me against them. So this isn't a happy, joyful song. This is a song. Let's learn this song to remember that you messed up and didn't listen to what God had to say. For I will bring them into the land I swore to their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. There they will become prosperous, eat all the food they want, and become fat. Sounds like a good story. But they will begin to worship other gods. They will despise me and break my covenant. So that's Moses' big pep talk. We're getting ready to enter the land. Choose life or choose death. Oh, by the way, you're going to choose death. And you can hear the people go, yay. And you think, where's the good news in all of this? I mean, that's the moment where I'm thinking, they're looking around saying, couldn't we get somebody else to give this speech? Couldn't you give us a better leader? But Moses has a little bit of good news in there. I mean, this has to be in the top 10 worst pep talks of all time. And so it maybe begins to beg the question, or we start to ask the question, was something wrong with the laws? They had had all the laws given by God. They had those inscribed by the finger of God on stone tablets that Moses brought down. They heard the roar, the thunder up on the mountains. They saw the lightning and the smoke. They had a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud and fire leading them. So was there something wrong with the laws? Or something wrong with the people? And so what we begin to see is this, that the laws can't change the people. And this is where we come to this key verse in 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants, so that you will love him with all your heart and soul, and so you may live. Or better language, change, in many translations is circumcise, or I like when the message with Eugene Peterson translated, cut away the stubborn parts, because that's what circumcision is. Remember, it's a cutting away. It's the language that says our hearts are corrupted and they need change. And so this word circumcision implies cutting and destruction. But what we want to note is, who's doing the action here? Who's doing the circumcision of the heart? It's God. And so what we have to remember as we're reading this is the story of Deuteronomy, the story of the Bible, doesn't end with Deuteronomy. I mean, if we ended there in the Bible, we'd be like, well, what happens? It would be a really depressing ending to the story. We would be left hanging, but it doesn't. And so we have these questions. Well, what is it going to look like for God to change people's hearts? Well, there's good news, because that language gets picked up later by the prophets. So hundreds of years go by, the people of Israel eventually go into the land. They take the land, and then they have more problems. The kingdom gets split in two, and eventually, because of, again, their rebellion, they get scattered. So first Assyria, and then Babylon comes and takes the people off into captivity, or what we call exile. And so they're taken off into exile, and in the midst of all this time, are the prophets of God, people who are speaking and reminding them. The prophets are less speaking about future stuff. They're simply reminding the people of what God had said. So when they say to the people, when you do this, God is going to take you into captivity, they're not looking into a crystal ball and imagining this. They're just reminding the people, this is what God has told you. When you break my commandments, this is what will happen. But in the midst of all of that, these prophets also give them hints of good news. So the prophet Jeremiah says this, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a new promise, a new set of promises with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. So he's talking back at Mount Sinai. It's not going to be like that covenant. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. And so it's a reminder, the covenant has this nature, this relationship of it's like a marriage covenant. It's a commitment between two people. And it's a sense of faithfulness. And he goes on, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. Not on stone tablets, but on their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbors, say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So we see not only is God going to write the law on their hearts, he's going to forgive their sins. In Ezekiel, another one of the prophets picks this same language up. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is God speaking to people, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. So in other words, from all those things you've been doing wrong, you're going to be cleansed. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And so it's this language of a new heart, a new spirit, a change in who we are. And the heart for the people of Israel isn't simply our, but when we speak of our heart, we talk about our emotions. For them, the heart was more than just emotions. It was our guiding force. It's kind of what we would talk about as our mind and our heart. And so the heart encompassed all of who you were inside. So it's a total change inside. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So why are they going to follow it? Because of God's spirit. And so we have these prophets picking up this very language from Moses and Deuteronomy. Back when they're sitting there and they're on that land and they're getting ready to go into this land of promise. And he says, choose life or choose death. And then he says, oh, and you're going to choose death. But I got some good news for you. At some point in the future, God's going to do something to enable you to do it. Because the laws themselves didn't do it. Because the history of the Old Testament is rebellion after rebellion, even going into the New Testament, the churches. But there's this change that's coming. And we begin to see it, and it comes in as we read what we call our New Testament. So that's the reminder as we've been going through immersed beginnings. We read these stories.